I'd like to sing with you, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And that's number 369 in our hardcover book. 369.
Today, there's no other we can turn to? Who can help us face another day? O gentle shepherd, come and feed us, for we need you to help us find our way. Oh yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
We pray that you'll teach us how to stay close to the shepherd today. Those that stay close, they get the best care. And so, Lord, lead us so that we don't go astray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're called to follow you today. And we don't know where you'll lead, but we know, Lord, we want to be where you are, and we want to be where you want us to be, when you want us to be there, doing what you would have us to be doing. We praise you for it, for this wonderful call over our lives. We pray, Lord, that our young people, our children, will hear that call to follow Jesus today. Let it grip their hearts. There's so many calls, so many siren voices that are trying to call them in one direction or another. But we pray that your voice will break through all, and that that call of Jesus will grip their hearts, and that they will determine by your grace to follow you, Lord. Let them seek you early, early in life. Do your will. Yes. Lord, we thank you that you're giving them this opportunity and you're working in them, and we're continuing to believe that you are having your way. Lord, in these next few days, we're trusting that you will finish up the work that you brought them here to receive, and then go before them so they can keep growing and finding you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We're reminded to pray for this this woman who has gone to the hospital. We prayed for her last night. She's having trouble with the heart rate. It's rather rapid. They were very concerned about her. And so let's pray for Karen Romero again. She's the daughter of Brother Carl Saylor. Her grandfather used to be the caretaker here at camp, and her father lived here with his siblings growing up.
And
Prince the dog, yes. He's gone. But Karen's alive, so we want to pray for her. Praise God. Let's really join. It's a serious matter, but the Lord can take care of it. And they're looking to him as we are as well. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Paul, will you pray with us, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with boldness with our requests.
Amen.
We bring our dear sister to you at this time.
Meet
you
her, Jesus.
You see the great need in
bring
her body,
her
Lord. You know that you know our bodies. You know exactly what makes us tick. And you are able to adjust what needs to be adjusted. And your healing power,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for that, Lord. And so we trust her into your care this day.
Very definitely,
we pray that
Lord.
You will hear about her improvements in
yes,
her body.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And may the tests reveal that your touch upon her and the healing that we expect to perform in her body. We thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious Father and that you love us and that you want us to come to you with our needs and our prayers. And so we do this morning for dear Karen.
Bless her family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for the healing power of Jesus to be present among us. We remember that story in the Bible, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Well, you're with us, and you are the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we thank you that every time we gather together in your name, that we can expect you and to touch our bodies and to make things right. And Lord, we pray that as we worship you this morning and acknowledge your presence and open our hearts to your working, that our bodies will be positively affected and that life and strength and changes where necessary will be ministered. Fill us with faith, Lord, we pray to this end, and glorify your name as healer in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I would like to sing with you. We did it once before. The song on the back of your Bible study pamphlet. What shall I give thee, Master?
What shall I give thee, Master? Thou ordainedst I for me. Shall I give less of what I possess, or shall I give all to thee? Jesus, my Lord and Savior, thou hast given all.
We only have one heart, and that heart belongs to Jesus, or should. The Bible makes it clear, if we say that we love God whom we don't see, or we don't love our brother whom we can see, then we're deceiving ourselves. You don't have two hearts. You don't have one heart where you love people with, and another heart where you love God with. You got one heart, and the condition of that heart will reflect itself in your relationship with God and your relationship with others. That's where the rubber meets the road, dealing with other people whom you see, whom you rub shoulders with. That is an indication of where your heart really stands. We can feel a great love for God, and we can come to a meeting like this and just get lost in worship and, oh, just feel like we can hardly love Jesus more than we do. But how do we treat one another then? When I go out and I interact with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and, of course, the people in the world as well, The Bible tells us that we ought to love everyone, especially those that are of the household of faith. That's where you start. If you can't love your fellow Christians, how can you love the people in the world? And so, we don't want to fool ourselves. The letter to 1 John, God gave us that letter so that we don't fool ourselves. And how many times it says, if we say this, but we do that, we're fooling ourselves. And so it's a checklist for us. I say that I love God. Am I expressing that in my love for my brother? At work, there was a man that didn't like me. Can you believe it? For 3 years, he just kind of gave me the cold shoulder. I talked with other teachers, got to know them. But whenever I'd see him come down the hallway, he'd kind of just, if I didn't say hello, I don't think he would have. When I did, he always said hi. When I needed some help from him, you know, he was in charge of certain things. He always tried to give me the cold shoulder. I asked him one time I needed the password for my Kindle. Oh, well, I don't have time now. He was leaving the school. I said, well, you know, I've been after you to do this. Can you know, just take a minute, right? How long does it take to type in a password? Oh, no, no. See me when I get back from vacation. I had to wait 2 more weeks for him to... And I never got that password, by the way. And that troubled... troubled, I don't know if that's the right word. But it concerned me. And I would talk to Lily at home and say, I don't know why he doesn't like me. But I'm going to win him. And so I started praying. Lord, you know, I could have gone up to him and said, hey, why don't you like me? That would have just probably offended him. He'd say, what are you talking about? I thought maybe because my last name's Friedman, and he thought I was Jewish, and that I turned pastor, Christian. Maybe he didn't like that. Anyway, so this, as I say, went on for like 3 years. Never had any major confrontation with him, but I was concerned. And I thought, how can I win this man over? What maybe I'm doing or not doing, or what can I do? Sometimes I try to go out of my way to be nice to him. If I had to email him, I'd say something nice, try to be pleasant. Well, anyway, the last day of school, I had to go to his office. If you want to keep your personal computer that the school lends you, keep it over the summer, you have to fill out a form. And who has those forms? Guess who? So I had to go to his office. And I knocked on the door. There was just one other young lady in the room. I told him I needed this form. So he went to his computer to, I guess, print it out for me or something. And as he's sitting there, he says, oh, I hear you're from Canarsie. I said, yeah, I've been there a long time. I used to live in Canarsie. I went to Canarsie High School. And then we start talking about Canarsie and the changes that came in the town over the years and things that we both knew about and recognized. And it was like the most pleasant conversation I had with Mr. Goldstein in 3 years. And then we shook hands and we wished each other a good summer vacation and looked forward to seeing you in the fall. And then I talked about some of his emails. I said, by the way, I like your emails. Yeah, yeah, they're kind of funny sometimes. Yeah, yeah, you like the one I said about, you know, the computer called COVID? Oh, yeah, that was a good one. And so I just left school this year feeling like we made some progress with Mr. Goldstein. Wow. And I texted Lily right away. I said, that's an answer to prayer. Now, I've told other people this, and they think, who cares about it? Why did that even bother you? But, you know, you can't have a heart tender toward God and not be tender toward others. I found that out. Sometimes you can't resolve problems. The Bible says, as much as is within you, as much as it's possible, live in peace with one another. You can try to make peace. You can be nice. You can't control how they're going to react. But I think maybe during those times of prayer, thinking about Mr. Goldstein, nobody knows him, that's why I didn't mention, there's a lot of Goldsteins in the world, I'm sure. But maybe that helped to soften his heart a little bit. Who knew that Canarsie was the secret that we were waiting for? But, you know, how do we treat one another as Christians? Does it bother you when you hurt one another or offend one another? I've been around Christians who surprise me. I was around an older woman who used to take delight in upsetting this other person. She'd say something, the person would get upset, and she would laugh. And that troubled me. She's a Christian. She's a godly woman. And yet, she had this in her heart. And again, what you display toward others is a reflection of your heart toward God as well. And she never got past that. To her dying day, she took delight in torturing this poor woman. And it made me lose a little respect for her as a Christian. You can't help but see those things and wonder, what's that all about? I said, Lord, help me. I don't have two hearts. I don't have one heart that I love God and another heart where I can treat people the way I feel like it because they deserve it. And so I have to keep that in mind. God watches the way we treat one another. When we don't think he's watching. I was hearing something just the other day. Henry Ford, when he was going to hire someone for his company, he would take them out to eat. And he'd watch. If he saw that they put the salt on the food before they tasted it, he wouldn't hire them. That makes no sense. They don't have any common sense. How can they work for me? You got to taste it first and then see whether it needs salt or not. Another CEO, I read that he, or I heard, that he would ask the prospective worker, I got to go somewhere. Can you give me a ride in your car? And then he'd go in the car and he'd look to see if the car was clean or whether it was a mess. And if the car was a mess, the guy had no idea he was being tested in the car. He had no idea that he was being tested in the restaurant, right? Who would think that the boss is watching whether I put salt on my food or not? But they determined whether they would hire them or not based on those things. You know, God's testing us all the time when we don't realize it. Not in the big things all the time, but the little things. Here at camp, the way we work together. In your home, the way you treat your siblings and honor your parents. At work, whether you do your duties well or try to get away with things when the boss isn't looking. And we think, well, there's no big consequences. God doesn't come down and punish us. But, you know, our usefulness in God's kingdom is affected by these little things. He that is faithful in little, says God, will make them faithful in much. And if you're not faithful in the little things, well, then God has to find someone else. So, anyway, Mr. Goldstein, I can hardly wait to tell him that he gave me a sermon. Wonder how that would go over with him. We're going to approach this gently and hope that I can pick up next year, if the Lord wills, where we left off. Praise God. But if we love Jesus, we need to love one another. And love not as the world loves, the imperfect fruit, but we have to love as he has loved us. And we can only do that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit and keep under the anointing. And so these are precious lessons. And the Holy Spirit's a wonderful teacher. And he's working in your life when you don't even realize it. He looks for faithfulness. And so let's be faithful to him in the little things. When the big things come, we'll be in a better place to handle them. Amen. Now, we have the joy of seeing a cottage counselor and a village counselor with us this morning. Do you feel joyful about this, Andrea? Good. And Anna? We'd like to hear a little something. Okay, it doesn't have to be a sermon. I'll take care of that. But we'd like to hear a little report. We've been praying very faithfully for the village and for the cottage every day, more than once, as I know you're praying. So we're with you, and we want to hear what God is doing. Okay, so who'll be first?
Yes, this is my second time counseling in the village. I'm counseling for Quantum. And and as many of you guys know, we are learning about the fruit of the Spirit and abiding in the vine. And it's just amazing to see how God has these fruits himself when we abide in the vine, and how we produce fruit because we abide in Jesus and we are the branches. And so the fruits of the Spirit that we've been learning about, we can see like how God loves us. He loves us first, and we don't deserve it. And then the joy we get to have in him, and the peace we get to have in him, and just his faithfulness and his goodness to us. And so we're trusting that the Lord will work, and that the Holy Spirit will produce these fruits in our lives, and that others may see it, and that we can be a light to others and to other campers and our counselors and the people who are in the church, but also people who aren't in the church. We would like to reflect the love that God gives us. So yeah, it's an amazing theme that we have going on. And thank you guys for the prayers, and we're just trusting that the Lord will continue to work. And we've been worshiping him and just getting to see him reveal himself to us every day more and more. So, yes.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, guys, to hear. God bless. Heather? Steve?
This is my fourth year in the cottage. And it's a little bit different than usual, because every single one of our kids come from a Christian household. So they know all of the Bible stories and what we're talking about. We're talking about being a new creation in Christ, how God has changed these people in the Bible, Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, all of these people, and why they need to be changed as well. And it's really, really nice, because the kids are really understanding it, and you can see the reverence that they have for the Lord and their understanding. And yesterday, usually we wait to introduce the story of Jesus at the end and give the children a little bit more time to understand who Jesus is and why you should accept him into your heart. But yesterday, we gave them the opportunity to say the salvation prayer and to understand, to give them that opportunity to accept Jesus and choose to follow him. And more than half of the children rose their hand and said that prayer. Want to follow Jesus more. It's been absolutely beautiful and amazing.
Praise God. Thank you and thank God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Continue your good work, Lord. We pray already, but we just, again, register our faith on their behalf. Lord, make that real to these children that opened up their hearts and received you, and cause many others to do the same, Lord. Lord, we pray that living seed will be planted in all of these hearts. Lord, camp will be over for them in a few days, but Jesus goes with them. And the seed that has been planted will continue to take root and grow. Help them to plant themselves by the rivers of water, Lord. Help them to keep in your word. Bring people into their lives that will encourage them to get out to God's house and to continue to minister the word of God to them. Pray for them. Help them, Lord, to continue to draw from the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon them. Lord, we pray. Bring them into fellowship with yourself. Make the things of God real to them by revelation, by light that you give. Oh, bless our counselors, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. We know that they've poured out a lot in these days. We pray that you'll pour back into them. Yes. We pray that you'll fill them with a fresh faith, Lord, for these next few days. We're believing for a breakthrough
Lord, where that's needed. And Lord, let these next few days be more glorious, more powerful in the Spirit than prior to this. Lord, let everything up till now be a preparation for the great things that God is going to do today, tomorrow, the next day. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing How Great Thou Art. I thought of that when I heard the rolling thunder.
I don't hear rolling thunder in the city like here in the mountains. I hear gunshots and things like that every once in a while, but not rolling thunder. Praise God. How great thou art. And what number was that? Number 50? Praise God. 50 in the white.
I see the stars, I hear the roar.
So Heather, I've been calling you Hannah, and you haven't corrected me. Very sweet. I worked at BJ's one time, and I was working with a fellow named Muhammad, and he kept calling me Ted. And I said, you know, my name is Ken. He said, well, Ted's okay, right? Okay. I wasn't planning on changing my name, but... So he called me Ted for the rest of our time together. I'll work on that Heather. Okay.